Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's midnight here in Southern California, and you're on the UFO watch. For all you truck drivers, keep your eyes to the sky, not on the road. Let us know what you see.
Yep. All right.
You ever listen to Coast to Coast AM? Is this how we're starting?
I don't know what you're doing right now.
Have you ever heard? Have you ever listened to Coast AM?
No. Is that just like truckers?
Oh. Well, it's like I can't remember his name, but this guy. It's like all conspiracy theory stuff, like UFOs, lizard people. It's pretty great.
Nice.
And they have open lines, so you can call in and be like, "I saw the lizard man getting effed by Bigfoot."
Oh, and beautiful. Then, like, hey, everybody. Welcome back. We have two more found footage films for you. We got three more coming this month, but today we are going to be reviewing Be My Cat and Creep 2. Now, guys, if you haven't jumped in yet, encourage you to go back to last week's episode and listen to Grave Encounters and the other ones that we did. I'm blanking on the other ones, but those are some good movies that you'll want to listen to our review on. Either. But if you haven't seen these movies, I encourage you to watch it, and then you can listen to us talk about it. These are really two different, but not that different films, and it's kind of crazy the contrast and the comparisons
are horrifying.
That between these. So I'm really excited to talk about these. Let's just jump right into Be My Cat. An inspiring filmmaker goes to shocking extremes to convince Hollywood actress Anne Hathaway to star in his film. First entry in Adrian Tofai's trilogy.
He's Romanian, I believe.
Trilogy, which includes We Put the World to Sleep and Pure. Oh, wow.
They're not out yet.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be honest. So I know this wasn't like your favorite thing in the world.
Right.
But I went on like a spiral into this man's like brain.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, when are these movies coming out? Because I'm hyped to see what else whatever he comes up with will be interesting.
Yeah.
And I found his like, what's it called? Where people can like pay you monthly to support you doing like different stuff.
Oh, like a you know, Patreon?
Like a Patreon. Yeah. He has a Patreon, and you can get a signed version of his movie of My Cat.
What the heck? Oh my gosh.
But he seems like a really cool dude in real life. Well, hopefully if he's actually a murderer, I stand corrected, but I don't think he is.
Yeah. So this, I mean, you can give him a rundown in a sec, but this movie kind of borders like a snuff film. And for those of you who don't know what a snuff film is, it's typically in the horror genre. It's known as a movie that's like they actually do the things that are trying to be portrayed in the movie. So like if there's a murder in the scene, they're actually murdering someone. Or in some cases, like sexual scenes, they'll actually be having sex with each other. That's kind of the definition. It's not really acting at that point. It just becomes doing. And
it's like if you're our age or even older, you're probably familiar with a website called Live Leaks that was around for a little bit.
Yep.
And it would be like people getting decapitated, and they would call that a film. Yeah. But people that were like a snuff film would be like them setting out to make something like that, which is horrendous and evil, but. That's an unfortunate thing that exists.
Yeah, and it's really kind of like, it really does take away from the art of the whole idea in film and acting because they're just doing, and it's just creepy because some people can really just get carried away in their craft, and then all of a sudden they're so desperate to make something really, really good that they end up doing the thing. And definitely doesn't have its
movie,
time.
Or place. Technically not a, so it's, this is movie. It's technically not a snuff film. It is considered by many, though, to be the first found footage film called Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, what the
and
heck?
It, yeah, no. It features them, like, hanging out. No, so what happens in it that is real is, like, the killing of animals on screen.
Oh, wow.
So I've never seen the movie because it features a turtle getting killed, and I love turtles. But there's some there's a precedent for this kind of thing. This movie obviously isn't. Be My Cat has nothing to do with anything real.
Right. Dang, dude. But Cannibal Holocaust is on Peacock.
No, don't watch it.
Is it really bad?
Well, I just think it's a despicable movie. Like,
interesting. Killing animals. Why would it be on Peacock, though?
It's mainstream, dude.
That's so... It's wild how some of these movies are kind of popping off again. So, for this movie, Be My Cat, like, it's starting to pop off on TikTok again, and people are, like, watching it. Yeah, people... Like, it's in their IMDb credit that, like, it's showing some people reacting to what this movie is on TikTok. And let me just preface this, cool. is that people...
This is good for that audience.
People, what we're finding with some of these, like, you know, movies is that people are really just trying to overdo what, like, they're trying to...
It's happening.
They're trying to play up to, like, the craziness of this movie. To me, I didn't think this movie was that crazy. Like, it's a... No,
we have another film we review, I think, next week that... We can talk about the TikTokification of that movie, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it'll be an interesting conversation.
Next week will be a tough week for everybody, so and us included. But just give them a brief rundown, Carson, of what Be My Cat is, if you can, and then we will talk about it.
Yeah, so this film doesn't necessarily have a traditional plot. Like, if you've studied storytelling at all, this is not similar to what you've studied. You could maybe argue for a traditional plot, so I'm going to give you guys just more or less a rundown of what's happening. So there's this filmmaker, he's literally the same guy, Adrian, in real life, and he's trying to make a movie called Be My Cat within this movie. And this movie, Be My Cat, is about him, this guy who's obsessed with an actress and stalking her and wants to kill her. But at the same time, we have this meta narrative where he's making this movie with these girls so he can convince Anne Hathaway to be in his movie to be a cat character. So there's kind of like a movie within a movie within a movie thing going on here.
Yeah, because isn't he like the reason about the cat is because she played Catwoman in the Batman in movie?
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Yeah. So he's obsessed with Anne Hathaway, and he's like saying like he kind of has this philosophy that the ultimate goal for an actor is for it to be real. And so when he's killing these women, he's like, oh, it's like a honor that you're getting killed, because then you get to be like you're dying while in character. That's an honor, is what he's saying. And it's freaking weird. It's kind of hard to put anything cohesive to like what his frame of mind is like. He's pretty much a crazy person. There's nothing really sexual per se in what he's doing. It's more childlike and more about his obsession with Anne Hathaway than anything, but it is deeply disturbing. So trigger warning.
Yeah,
it's not gory by any means, though. It's just really creepy.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just go into our thoughts then. Likes, dislikes. Let's do likes first.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure I like this more than you.
Yes, probably.
So yeah, I'll just go first then. So for me, I think this is like pure, like what found footage can be in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Like very clearly no budget, but there's no team behind this. It's literally just him. He's the producer, the director, the main star, and the cinematographer. I think that is cool. I think that is what drew me to this movie when we were watching it. And I think the acting feels very genuine too. Like it doesn't feel like acting in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's cause the accents sell it for me, but like something about it, like it feels real. And like we said before, it has that kind of snuff film vibe to it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times where I'm like, I pray to God that this isn't actually like secretly something horrible. I had to look it up to make sure. I was like, am I like watching something I shouldn't be? So I think that's really cool. I think the concept itself is really creepy. Those are my main likes. It's mainly just like the concept and the execution I think are done really well, but I do have some dislikes as well.
Okay. Yeah, I would say similar thing, right? This is in regards, I mean, I don't think so, but it is close to what something like, right, like wow, yeah, this is a really good found footage film in regards to like how even just the background stuff that you were telling me about like keeping them in character throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, so the director and the cast of the female actresses or actors, they stayed in character the whole time. So there was this whole thing. So they planned months in advance. He has a theater background and like experimental theater and stuff like that. So you can see the philosophy of that applied to this film in a really unique way. But when the actors, these fake actors show up, his whole plan in real life was, hey, when we speak English, we're supposed to stay in character the whole time. If we speak Romanian, then we're not in character. So that way we can communicate what we need to communicate.
Yeah.
And so almost the whole movie's improv. So there's even a scene where a character, she calls the police and he genuinely freaks out. And he's like, oh, but she did that in English when she called the police. So it's still in character. So she was like, so in character, she called the police because she's like, that's what I would do in real life, which is funny because her and the fake characters were having an argument about what she would do in real life. It was really, it's really weird when you start to unravel that. But I just think that's so cool. Like I've never seen.
Yeah, that is
kind of dumb.
And a dedication to something like that is really cool because, right, you want to, in regards to found footage, it's the best thing possible to keep your actors in the most raw and authentic self that they can. Because with found footage, one, there's no budget. Two, you're really working against the elements around you, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like the
honking horns in this movie's case.
Say it again.
The honking of the horns, the cars. That was so annoying.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's really cool. I think that's as far as my besides him, I think he plays a really, really good, creepy kind of guy. And especially when he's like,
gross.
It's a really gross film, but like he plays it so well of like, no, don't worry. This is okay. We're doing this for the movie. Like, don't worry. It's cool. And it brings in that like, it's really weird. But
icky, like manipulative kind of factor.
Yeah. So some of the, it's weird. I don't know if we should say this on podcast, but it seems like there's some mental disconnection with him, like whether it could be, and I don't know if this is implied like in the film, but like,
or disability.
Yeah. Like almost like autistic or something of that sort.
He seems, earlier, you know how I mentioned, like, it doesn't seem like it was sexually motivated by any means.
Yeah.
I think he has like I would assume this character has some kind of stunted growth or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
I don't know how intentional that is. It feels intentional. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of this movie is intentional, despite being improv'd.
Yeah.
But,
and I don't know if it's the Romanian accent that he has that kind of grounds it even more of like, oh, what's going on over there?
It sells it.
So, well, let's get into dislikes, because I do have a little bit more of dislikes than likes.
Yeah. For me, my biggest dislikes is some of the scenes, and this is kind of the case for a lot of found footage films, is because it's true to life sometimes, or like the scenes take place in real time, they feel so long.
Yeah.
Like the scenes themselves can feel, in this movie, because it feels even more true to life than something like, what did we watch, Grave Encounters?
Yeah.
This has way less cuts. It's just like a lot of these scenes feel super stupid long.
Yeah, for sure.
And then my other like, really my other only main issue is the freaking ending is what? I don't get it. Maybe I'm dumb, but I don't get the ending. Like, I get that spoiler. He seems like he's going to go find Anne Hathaway, maybe. But but I don't know why. Like, it's just him and that girl talking. I don't know what she said that convinced him. It was it's just kind of a strange ending for me.
Yeah. And yeah, to go off that, I hated the ending. Like, the ending for me just didn't feel like it really puts a story together. And I think that's my biggest flaw with this movie, is that it, it just doesn't feel like there's a really different plot or narrative in here. It just ends up being three different women, and you dig a little bit deeper into his mind. So it's almost like a slice of life horror, like,
found footage. See that. That's weird to say, but
yeah. and it's just like, okay, like for me, there was no difference between the first, second, or third girl besides the actions that he does with them. And
then the one girl kind of has a slightly different personality, I guess.
Yeah. And the last one where like she genuinely kind of figures something out that's going on, and they're like you know, starts to be this contemplation and the dialogue between, mm-hmm. you know, don't kill me, all this type of different things. It really, that part felt better for me. But like kind of what you were saying, this happens with a lot of found footage films is that they seem to go on longer than they should. Maybe they would have been better as a short film.
Yeah.
Like if this was a short film,
this would have been a killer short film.
10 out of 10 for sure. But because it's a full length mm-hmm. feature, you're like, okay, we don't need all of the backstory. You could have kept the intro. No. You could have kept the first, and then the second girl made it into a 30, 45 minute film, and it would have been butter.
Even maybe just end it sooner. Like we don't need this revelation that he's going after Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, like that's already apparent.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's it's also funny too that he like casted three girls that kind of have like I don't know if you noticed, but it has the first girl who has short hair like Anne Hathaway does, like in Les Mis or in some of these other ones. You have this like mom looking
kind of creepy
Anne Hathaway where she's played those, and then like kind of the almost what is it, Devil Wears Prada type Anne Hathaway. It's kind of cool like how he did the casting on this. But
horrifying.
Yeah, exactly. So he is.
I do love the song he sings or plays all the time, the Romanian like revolutionary song.
Oh yeah.
That was a good song. That reminded me more of Creep a little bit. That had like Creep undertones.
Anyway, so yeah, overall I wasn't in love with it. I think it's way too long of a film. The guy gives you really unsettling vibes, and there kind of like what you said, there's a couple of parts where I just felt like icky. I was like,
it's an icky movie, dude. Like it's not like super graphic or even explicit, but like
I mean, there is some graphic.
I'm gonna buy the autographed version for sure.
It's just, I think for me, it's just really weird on the take of the women, like what he does with the women, they're revealing clothes, that. It just feels, though it's not like, necessarily sexual, it feels super sexual at the same time. It feels that way. And it's like, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to get into like any sort of stance here, but
in Romania.
You said what?
I said being a woman sucks in Romania.
No, facts. Sure. But I'm not trying to get into anything here. However, in this movie, this guy is very, very degrading to women. And that, I think, adds the layer to of like this really kind of weird, creepy vibe that I hated watching.
I know. Well, that's... So I found an AMA on Reddit between him and the r/horror subreddit.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him, like, how did these actresses feel like being in this film? And he's like, well, the first one was actually like horrified of me.
Oh, wow.
And then I guess some of the other actors, though, he knew from school. Like, he's a theater kid.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they already knew him, which is really weird, though. Like, I can't imagine, like, acting this and, like, trying to be normal.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, okay, guys. Well, that is Be My Cat. It has some similarities to this next film, but Be My Cat is on Tubi and I think Roku
you can rent
channel
it for like $3.
Yeah, Roku channel, Tubi, and then you can rent it
or check out his website, buy it from him.
No, don't do that. But yeah, trigger warnings. It does get kind of gruesome and kind of sexual, so just be aware of that. This is a very severe horror movie. But moving on, we have Creep 2. Now, for those of you who are with us during our 31 Days of Halloween, we did the first installment of this movie. And actually, it hasn't been slated yet, but there is a Creep 3 supposed to be coming out. So I am kind of hyped for that.
Yes. I hope it comes out very soon. Actually, it's funny that both the movies we watched have like highly anticipated stuff connected to it coming out.
Yeah. So let's talk about Creep 2. Here's the log line. A video artist looking for work drives to a remote house in the forest to meet a man claiming to be a serial killer. But after agreeing to spend the day with him, she soon realizes that she made a deadly mistake. I remember watching this the first time around, and it must
you said
have
you
been
didn't like it.
Years ago. Yeah, this came out in 2017, so I think that was the time where I actually watched it. And I wasn't impressed with it. I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't care to finish it. I did, but I was just like, it's whatever. But this next time walking around, that's so funny. He was walking around in the trailer. This next time watching it again, it was such a better movie, and I'm like almost scared to say that it's better than the first one.
I think I might agree, dude.
Yeah.
I honestly, after we had a really good conversation about Creep. So if you guys haven't listened to that yet, go back. It's one of our better episodes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But dude, the themes carry over into this movie. Can we just get into likes?
Yeah, let's do it. Do we have to
explain the plot?
No, yeah. Guys, if you know anything about Creep or whatever, it is pretty much the first one replaying itself. However, the best part in this movie is the new subject of his, and it's almost like a hard cookie for him to crumble.
Okay, yeah. He's having like a midlife crisis.
Yep.
Is how I would describe it, which mm-hmm. is such a funny concept. I actually laughed in this movie more than I thought I would. But anyways, dude, okay, I'm going to get into my likes because for me, the themes of the first film are so strong, and something that I took away from that first film upon rewatching it a couple times now mm-hmm. was the idea that like maybe this filmographer, this guy is also kind of a creep. Like, why would you stick around? And this second movie, I takes that kind of idea and explodes it and explores it in way more depth because this girl, what's her name?
Her name is Sarah.
Sarah's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Because she knows everything that feels like it's going wrong. She knows what's happening, right? She knows like this guy's likely gonna kill me or rape me or worse. Who knows? And she sticks around.
She just says, "This could be
interesting."
Yeah,
yeah. And she's like kind of lonely too, probably or whatever. But there's mm-hmm. lots you could explore there. And I think that's so smart as a way to explore it because like, it's like who's the creep? Is it her? Is it him? Or is it us, the audience? Because we enjoy watching this stuff. Like for me, that kind of stuff really it gets under my skin because I love to think while watching horror films and this movie does that, but at the same time because she's not scared of him it makes for a more entertaining narrative in some ways than the first film because he's scared in the first film but in this one she's not really scared, she actually scares him a couple times which is such an interesting twist. And just the fact that you can see him even come out of his funk of like I don't want to kill people anymore is such a funny idea but also horrifying idea that it just grabbed me, like got its hooks in me. Yeah, that's kind of like mainly for me just the plot and the concept of the second film is why I liked it just as much as the first one.
Yeah, and I think what's cool about this, it's so Mark Duplass whatever his name Legend. he's the writer and director of it, and he actually kept Patrick Bryce as as the another writer who, if you don't know, is the original like other creep subject in victim. The first one. And so it was just really kind of like it's cool that he kept that and it carries the same vibe this time. I don't know if the first one was, but this was also picked up by Blumhouse and and it's like Mark Duplass
I don't think the first one was
is like a really notable actor. He's like probably a guy you've seen in so many different things but never knew who he was.
It's weird that he's doing this.
And it's just like such a good idea altogether. It's weird, it's creepy. Also did you notice the first subject in the beginning of the movie is Dopinder from Deadpool,
the guy?
Yeah,
is it actually?
Yeah, it's Dopinder.
That's so the funny.
Cab driver
dude, I love him.
So
I kind of hope he shows up in Deadpool 3. Can we talk about that opening though? Because that is, if that was a short film, that is a sick short film.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's super violent, but also horrifying. Because when he pops on the screen, because we've seen the first movie and we just see him being super normal, my brain's going, OF.
Yeah.
This is bad for this guy. Yeah. I'm like, he's not even on the poster. The girl's on the poster, at least. Mm-hmm. This guy's done for. It was, that was so good.
It was such a cool way to start the movie. And I know that sounds weird because it's literally a murderer or serial killer. But anyway, so likes, let's dive there. We kind of got carried away there, but.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Those were my likes.
Okay, so. I think more with my likes, I like the setup of the plot. Like, I actually like that they spent time with the main character, Sarah, in showing, like, you know, she's kind of what you said. She is, like, this weird person as well. She's desperately trying to get a...
She's kind of a fleshed out character, too, compared to
Like, she actually has stakes in this movie. So you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, in the first one, the guy, Patrick Bryce, he doesn't actually have stakes. He's just like, kind of like, oh, I want to film something. You know, I'm hired for the day. But this girl, she's like, this guy is creepy and I want to use him for my YouTube channel. So that gives her the reason to lie to him.
I would get in the situation.
And
we'd be like, yeah, let's do it, Daniel.
But I was actually thinking that. But the best like part in this is that, again, she is like nothing he's ever dealt with. Like, he said that he's killed over 40 people and he loves it, all this type of weird stuff. And then, yeah, like what you said, she was like scaring him at some point. She wasn't easily scared. She kind of like just took it by the horns and was like, yeah, let's do it. And then it all crumbles into this one crazy, like, weird love story, but not love story.
It's
and
weird.
You're like, oh my god,
it's
gosh.
So weird.
Yeah. So for me,
and he lies a lot too. So like, yeah, some of the story from like his background from the first and second film, I'm even more confused. But like, it's because he's like a impulsive liar. So that was kind of an interesting to see like what he lied about in this one versus the first one.
Yeah, the ending is just so satisfying, I think, right? Because he ends up trying to kill her. I just want to spoil this because it's such a good ending, but he ends up trying to kill her.
But he has an actual arc in this film, which is cool.
Okay, let's describe that.
It's basically like his journey. I think of it as like someone who's an artist who's really good at something. They're on top of their game.
Oh yeah, like the Koopla
too good at it
thing that they talk
about. Yeah, and they get in the Coppola,
that's what
Francis
it is.
Ford Coppola. Coopla.
I thought of like the Mario character, like the Koop or whatever it's called.
Koopa Troopas. Koopa. Stupid. But he has like no drive to make art anymore, which in this case is murdering people.
Yeah.
And so then it's like when she comes into his life, I think typically he was interested in men. Mm-hmm. But anyways, she like because she doesn't turn away from his weirdness, she like embraces it more.
Yeah,
he has this like newfound love for killing again. It's kind of like his journey back to his original self, who was like really good at what he did, but it just got boring for him. So I think that's, it's almost like when you watch like a sports movie or something like a biopic, it kind of has that same plot a lot of the times. So I think it works really well in this case. I have no idea what they'll do for the third one.
Yeah, neither do I.
I just hope they don't mess it up.
Yeah, but the ending of this one is so crazy because, like, right, he does this whole Romeo and Juliet, like, I want to stab you type deal, and you stab yourself, and we both die together in this grave. And then once she figures out, like, oh, it's going down now, she, you know, she gets got.
Fights back.
But then he's doing this whole thing because he is a narcissist, right? Like, it would feel like every serial killer is some sort of a narcissist. So he's like,
oh, sure,
having this big speech in front of the camera, like, well, Sarah,
I love it,
you have such a great episode here. I'm sorry you'll never get to see it. And then you just see Sarah in the background getting up out of the grave. She literally just whacks him over the head with a shovel. And then the screen goes black. And you're like, oh, crap, like, what happened?
But then there's more movie.
But then there's more movie, and you see this camera that has eyes
that
on her.
That zoom in at the end, bro?
Yes. And then the her whistle, face. Too. They pay homage to the whistle that was happening in the beginning of the movie, and then you finally see this moment where she realizes, oh, crap, he's here. And you just see her face kind of go from smiling to, oh, no. And then the movie cuts.
Her acting in that final scene is actually really good.
It's so good.
Like, you can feel, like, whatever she's feeling, you can feel it, you know? Like, this horror, this terror. It's awesome.
So,
awesome movie.
I really like this
movie. I don't
have
any dislikes.
What?
I don't have any dislikes.
Yeah, no, I really... Okay, if I had any dislike or anything of, like, what I would change is I wish they would kind of redo what they did in the first movie. You know, when that final kill happens and it shows him, like, taking out the VHS and putting it with the other kills. I wish they actually could have that again with this movie of him, like, the same thing, him watching it.
A little bit more finality.
Yeah, and then him being like, okay, we know he's alive, we know she's dead, that kind of thing. I guess it is cool.
That's
where
I hope the third film might maybe tie these two, the first two films together even more.
Yeah,
somehow.
That'd be cool.
I'm not sure how they would do that, but I also do appreciate in some ways that this second film goes in its own direction as well, though.
Yeah.
So I get why they would do that ending different, but I do get what you're saying, because that ending of the first one's really good too.
Yeah, it's really great. So I think overall this movie is probably about a 9 out of 10 for me. I didn't like it at first, but rewatching it, I was like, dang, this is a solid movie. Sweet. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for week 2 of Found Footage February. We are happy you guys are sticking around for all these different types of genres that we got coming for the further months. Next month, we have Monster March coming out. We got some cool merch coming, and you'll want to reserve it. We are going to really...
How much are we charging them? 35?
We don't know. We have to find out where we're going first.
35, y'all. For the productions. $60.
Anyway, so yeah, can't wait for all that, guys. We're excited. We thank you so much for coming along for the ride, and we will see you next week.
That's a clean slate.